This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime. We'll hear first this week from Let George Do It with his story, One Chance at the World. That one aired August 8, 1949. After that, it's Broadway Is My Beat and the Georgia Gray Murder Case, his story from April 28, 1951.
Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. One Chance at the World, another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If life is a continual dance with someone else calling the tunes, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, it's a great homecoming after you've been away several years to find your wife waiting for you, dead. But that's what happened to me. She died a week before I got to town. The chaplain said maybe I was crazy to even come back here. But now that I did, I'm glad. Because my wife was murdered, Mr. Valentine. And what do I find? The guy who killed her still sits at home eating squab and drinking champagne.
Well, that's what you said in your letter, Mr. Evans. Murdered.
It's what I meant, and the name's Nard. I'm not used to being called Mr.
Okay, Nard. Your wife's name was Verna.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the newspapers indicated Verna Evans was hit by an automobile when she was walking across an intersection out by the edge of town.
Yeah, a week ago Saturday night.
And it said the driver was exonerated.
Sure. Dismissed with a couple of words, like she was, about the size of a death notice way back on page 7. But did the article say who he was?
But
no.
You...
Probably knows the editor, that's why. It was Mr. Farrell Paulson. Now, what do you think?
Look, Nard, I know that Mr. Paulson's important. He's a big man. And the kind that doesn't like to have his name in the paper, but...
I'll say he doesn't. Not unless he's kissing a baby or
but
something.
But I also know that the police in this town don't play favorites. And I know they must have looked into this case thoroughly.
I was afraid that that's what you'd say. I went to the police. They said the whole story was in the papers. So I went to Mr. Paulson himself. You'd think he'd at least feel sorry about killing a woman, but he wouldn't even see me, Mr. Valentine. Not even see me.
Oh, he wouldn't, huh? Hey, look, now, tell me a little more about yourself, will you? In the letter you mentioned a chaplain. Where have you been, the army?
Prison.
Oh, I see.
You're pretty young, aren't you?
23.
How long were you there?
Good behavior. Only 2.5 years.
What for?
Assault with a deadly weapon.
Want to tell me about it?
No, why should I? It's over with. I paid for it.
Okay, Nard. Being bitter never helps, you know.
I try not to be, Mr. Valentine. I know I shouldn't be. I know Verna wouldn't want me to be.
But it's not so easy when things like this happen.
We were always so close. Married when we were just kids. We started our own little business, laundry and cleaning. I even worked out some new machines, fast presses. You know, we had big plans. But I haven't even got that anymore.
What do you mean?
She had to sell out while I was away. I told her not to, but I guess she had to eat somehow. Grofay Laundry's got everything I own. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, except, well... I haven't got a penny to pay you with.
Who says I'm going to do anything I need pay for?
You mean you won't help me? You mean I get the brush from you, too? Sorry, jailbird, it's just tough,
Why don't you, kid, would you hammer something into that head of yours? The world is not against you. I know maybe it looks that way to you, but it's not.
Yeah, sure. That's what the chaplain kept saying, and I believed him, too.
All I'm trying to tell you is I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to prove it to you.
I'm not trying to evade my responsibilities, if that's what you're thinking, Mr. Valentine. Or my conscience.
All right, Mr. Paulson. All right, I believe you.
It's just that
maybe it's just that you want time to plan what you're going to say to him a little more carefully.
I beg your pardon?
You were driving your car last Saturday night. Were you alone?
Yes.
Speeding?
No.
Drinking?
No.
Now what happened?
The police have the case. They have every bit of information. There's no sense in
okay.
my...
Okay, Mr. Paulson.
Your client, the young man, the husband, he's not trying to cause any further trouble, is he?
Oh, no, Mr. Paulson. He's happy.
Oh,
that
I
you...
know I shouldn't have said it that way. I didn't mean it that way. The accident wasn't my fault. I slammed on my brakes, but she was running across the street and... I bet he'd like to kill me. I don't like myself very much either.
It wasn't your fault, and yet you don't just feel upset. You feel guilty, too, don't you? Why?
I have to get back inside.
It wouldn't be you've held something back, would it, even from the police?
No, of course not. What's your name again?
Valentine.
Yes. Perhaps we'll meet again, Mr. Valentine.
Lieutenant Riley, what's homicide got to do with Verna Evans' death? And how did you know what we're here for anyway?
Paulson called me.
Oh.
But as regards your first, homicide has nothing to do with it. Just Riley the sucker. Good old Riley, everybody's...
Just what are you talking about?
Oh, never mind. Wait a second. Hewitt, this is Miss Brooks and Mr. Valentine.
Well, how do you do, Hewitt?
I'm Nard's cousin, miss. Sure pleased to meet you.
Oh,
Hewitt. What brings you down?
Well, Nard's staying with me, you see. I guess he doesn't like to go back to their old apartment. We don't mind having him. It's the least we can do.
Now, remember what I said, Hewitt. And remember, it's got nothing to do with you blaming yourself.
Well, how can I help it? I mean, at least we could have had her over once a week, regular. But Saturday night was the Gin Rummy Club, and... Well, the wife did her best getting her for meals. And I saw Verna several times helping her sell that cleaner stuff to Johnny Grofay.
I said don't blame yourself. Now just try and think about what I've been telling you so you can help.
No. No, all you've been saying is a lot of police department stuff.
Huh?
I know how you work. I'm not actually saying this guy Paulson did any fixing or anything. But I am saying I know what Verna was like. You guys better make up something better than that for Nard. That's all I'm saying. So long, Lieutenant.
Yeah. Police department stuff. What's the matter with people? What do they think we do? Sit down here plotting against everybody?
Oh, remember your blood pressure, Lieutenant.
Well, that's what you're here for, too, isn't it? To say, Riley, what's the big idea of brushing the poor kid off? Big, hard-hearted police department. Oh, don't mind me. I've had a bad morning, that's all.
Start at the beginning, will you, Riley?
Yeah, sure. Traffic referred the case to me because I was the one who sent Nard Evans up 3 years ago. I was a sergeant then.
Oh, the assault with a deadly weapon?
Oh, it sounds worse than it was. Nard was just a kid, went after a couple of sailors with a tire iron because he thought they insulted his wife. Well, he deserved to be punished, all right. A man can't let his temper fly any time he wants,
but
you know.
But he was really just a hot-headed boy who loved his wife too much.
Oh, he idolized her. She was cute, too. Blonde. Not too bright, but very nice. And that's why traffic referred this case to me.
Hey, clear up that one, will you?
Well, point A, Farrell Poulsen's not at all to blame for the accident.
You sure?
Not according to my evidence. Point B, Verna Evans was.
What?
Oh, yeah. The hard-hearted police department thought it might be better if Nard didn't know the truth. That's why we gave the kid the stall this morning. That's why we had his cousin in, hoping he might be able to ease the blow.
The blow? What do you mean, Lieutenant?
The accident happened last Saturday night out by the edge of town. Crowded highways, crowded roadhouses.
Go on, Lieutenant, go on.
Well, we don't know whether she was with anybody or not, but we do know she had been other nights the same week. About a dozen witnesses in a joint called Springer's Shack remember seeing her. Then some guy took her arm and she went outside. Tried to walk across the highway when Paulson and a lot of other cars were coming and... Well, Paulson couldn't help himself.
What else, Riley?
Well, the kid's beautiful, wonderful wife could hardly stand up straight.
Well, hello, Nard. I thought you'd gone home over to your cousin's.
No, I had to know what was going on. I came back up. Your office was locked, but...
Yeah, well, let's go inside, kid. We can talk.
No. Tell me right now. What did you find out?
Well, Nard, Mr. Paulson isn't guilty of anything. And the police didn't mean to give you a brush off. They just didn't seem to think you'd understand. I think they were wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, Miss Brooks means... I understand that you're being in prison. Well, it was pretty hard on your wife, too.
Vernon? What are you trying to tell me?
Nard, the other night that accident was just unavoidable. Vernon had been out. She'd been having a good time. She'd had a few.
You're lying to me. Vernon never drank in her life.
We looked over the evidence ourselves, Nard. Statements from people who saw her. There's no question about it.
You're lying to me. You're trying to hide something.
You take it easy, kid. Now, come on inside.
No, let go of me. You're the one who was going to help me.
Nard, please.
Girl, you're all like the rest of them. A guy's a jailbird. Give him a kick.
Hey, Nard, easy.
I'll show you what it feels like. He's your payment for doing nothing.
Hey, now, no.
Wait a minute, Nard.
No, let him go, Angel.
Oh, George.
Maybe that sock got some of it out of his system.
Oh, golly. Your cheek's bleeding.
That's okay.
Here, give me the key.
Hey, wait a minute, Brooksy. He said the office was locked. But I don't remember locking it.
Huh?
Not the outer room. No, you see, it's not. What in the name of... Farrell Paulson.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, here's the gun with a silencer. And Brooksy, I guess he's about as dead as six bullets will make a man.
Return to tonight's adventure, George Valentine, in just a moment. Good evening, car owner. Did you know that the most severe wear in your car's engine starts the moment you cut the ignition off? It's caused by condensation of acid-laden moisture on vital parts. The result is corrosive rust, which is responsible for 80% of engine wear. But there's a sure way to stop this high-cost corrosion. Use premium quality RPM motor oil. RPM contains special compounds that prevent rust. One compound in RPM is an adhering agent which keeps a moisture-proof film on the cylinder walls of your engine. And RPM stays on the job, preventing rust, even though your car stands idle for days or weeks. No wonder RPM is first choice in the West. It's the oil that stops 80% of engine wear. Ask for RPM at standard stations and at independent Chevron gas stations where they say and mean... We take better care of your car. Now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. You meet a boy just out of prison whose wife was killed a week before. Yes, Verna Evans was struck by an automobile driven by a Mr. Farrell Paulson. The police tell you that Mr. Paulson was not to blame, that the only reason for the accident was the difficulty Mrs. Evans was having with her own navigation. The boy, Nard, quite understandably, refuses to believe such a thing about his wife and socks you when you try to tell him about it. So, like George Valentine, you have a pretty sore jaw, and it's not helped any by the fact that you've now found Mr. Paulson dead in your office.
Well, stop looking at me, Valentine. I didn't say Evans killed him, did I? People always point at the cop and say, there he goes, accusing somebody.
My, aren't we touchy today?
Well, it's just that I can't help kicking myself for being so gooey-hearted this morning.
Gooey-hearted?
Maybe if I told Nard the facts straight out, but no. I had to protect his dream about his wife.
Hey, look, Riley, I had the feeling Paulson hadn't told the whole story yet. Something bothered him. Subconscious, maybe.
Yeah? Well, try this on your subconscious. My boys ran the gun down.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was bought this morning from a hawk shop on 3rd Street. Purchaser signed his name John Smith. But he had brown eyes, 5'10", about 160 pounds, complexion a little pale.
Art Evans.
Yeah, to a T. Well, I've got to put out an all-points form.
Okay, Ronnie. But while your cops are looking for the boy, I'm going to go out and find him. Come on, Brooksy. Excuse the gate crashing, mister. We're in a hurry. You own the Grove Fay Laundry, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking for Nard Evans. Have you seen him?
Who?
Yes, you have seen him, haven't you? And you're scared to death.
Why would I have seen anyone named Nard Evans?
Huh? Oh, I played you for just a long shot, but I guess you're not. Nard's a boy who thinks the world's against him. I thought he might have been here to file a complaint. You bought some machines or patents or something from his wife, a fast presser.
Oh, yes, I remember now, but there certainly would be no reason to complain.
Yeah, for a long shot, you sound more and more like a sure thing. Now, come on, when was he here? There's a murder involved.
It was 15 minutes ago.
George, after the murder.
Keep talking.
Well, he was talking wildly, made a lot of threats. He had the ridiculous idea that his wife had been put upon.
I guess she was. I guess that's why you're so scared.
Are you implying that I swindled the girl? Now, you see here, you know she came to me alone. She did. Absolutely alone. It was her idea to sell. She needed money, she said, and...
Well, and you were glad to oblige, huh?
Mr. Grossay, did Verna Evans impress you as the kind of girl who'd spend a good deal on parties or maybe liquor?
I don't know. Perhaps, yes, now that you mention it. Why?
That's a good question, Mr. Grofay. Why a lot of things? Like, why believe everything we hear?
Sure, that's us, mister. Springer Shack. Been here for 25 years, me and Pa.
Well, I guess it's your husband we want to see, Mrs. Springer. He was one of the main witnesses in that Evans accident. You know, the girl who was hit by the car when she walked out of here last Saturday night?
Oh, yes, I know. Poor little thing.
Well, tell me, is your husband... I said, is your husband a...
You don't have to yell, mister. I'm so used to trucks backfiring, I can hear myself think by them. Well, I'll be here any second. Been taking a nap in the house, I'll back.
Mrs. Springer, do you remember Verna Evans?
Well, not much. See, I'm busy on the cash register and cooking, too. We're mostly a restaurant, you know.
Yeah, it gets a little noisy around here on Saturday nights.
Well, we got two jukeboxes. Sure it does, mister. No, Pa was the one told the police about, well, you know, about the condition she was in.
What sort of condition was she in?
Pa's pretty strict. He wouldn't serve her more than the one drink, and she didn't touch that. She couldn't.
Why not?
I guess other places aren't so particular. She'd been filled up lately before she ever got here.
Huh?
Oh, Lordy. I don't know. Some folks thought so, some folks didn't, but Saturday nights, mister... Well, you better just ask Pa.
Oh, what's that?
I said you better...
Oh, hey, that wasn't a bad
thing. Oh, sure.
Come on.
Around this way. Look out for the puppies. Springer Spaniels.
Yes.
But they're really Airedales. Pa, where are you? Pa, what are you...
Hey.
Oh, no. No! Oh, Pa!
Take care of it. Yes. It was a shotgun. Mr. Springer, can you hear me? Hey, Mr. Springer, who did it? Can you hear me? Who did it?
That Evans fella.
Mr. Springer! You were out there, Lieutenant. You saw Mrs. Springer. She doesn't lie.
And we told you what she said about just one drink.
A traffic can't come up with any of the bars where Verna Evans was seen drinking. Just a lot of corroborating stuff on her weaving around in that one place.
Yeah. The doctors will let us know in a couple of minutes. They're already re-examining the body. You know how many orders it takes to get an exhumation?
Oh, never mind, never mind.
What I keep thinking about is poor old man Springer was the girl's big accuser. He threw the first rock. From Nard's standpoint, he called his wife names in public. Motive.
Lieutenant Riley. Lieutenant Riley.
Oh, there we are now.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
Sergeant Johnson, a couple of patrol cars located that Evans boy.
What?
Got him cornered upstairs of a garage on 73rd Street. He's daring them to come on up after him. They say a homicide has a hold on it, waiting for instructions. Now, the Evans boy is armed with a shotgun.
Okay, Johnson, tell him...
Riley, get in there and ask the doctors to hurry, will you? And tell those guys to keep the kids surrounded until we get there.
He's up here, Lieutenant. His room over the garage. Stairs are inside.
Yeah, okay, Sergeant. Oh, hello, Hewitt.
That's my shotgun he's got, Mr. Valentine. Came home from work and found he'd been there and it was missing. I live over in the next block.
Yeah, anybody try to go in yet?
He says he'll shoot if we stick our heads in. Says make him an offer and let Hewitt here deliver it. Guess Hewitt's the only one he'll trust.
Gosh, I feel like a heel. I'd like to help, but I've got a family to think about. I know what he's like when he's like this, when he loses his temper.
You ever let go with the tear gas, Lieutenant?
No, just stand back from the door. I'm going to have a talk with him first.
George,
relax,
no.
Angel, relax.
Okay, Valentine. All clear.
Is that you, Hewitt?
Nah, it's me. Valentine.
You got 2 seconds to get out before I blow your head off.
Tough, aren't you? The jailbird. The guy who used a tire iron on 2 sailors. Keep your buttons on. I haven't got a gun.
Keep your buttons on. I can shoot yours off. You bet I can't.
Yeah, you really have got the world against you now, haven't you? Everybody hates you, Nye. The police, me, Johnny Grofay, the whole world.
I'm not kidding, Mr. Valentine. Get out of here. You're the only one I'll talk to.
Nye, did you ever hear of a man named Springer?
Who's he?
Now listen, kid, I got news for you. I asked the police to exhume the body of your wife, Verna.
What? Why, you...
Listen to me, will you?
Don't you?
The doctors can't tell about alcohol after a day or so. But they could tell about something else that was in her stomach. A drug, a dope.
What?
Drugs, dope. When Paulson's car hit her, when all those people saw her in Springer's shack, she acted like she'd had a few too many. Now, she could have been made to act that way by a drug.
I guess so. So what?
Listen to me, Nod. A couple of years ago, you went to prison. You told your wife not to sell that fast pressing machine thing of yours. But she needed money.
Yeah, I know all that.
Verna was young. She could have been persuaded to sell. Only when she found out later she'd been taken, that Grofay was really making hay out of his purchase, she got frantic. Her last week, she tore around, seeing people maybe, seeing men maybe.
There's always white guys to put on the wrong interpretation.
Sure. But who was in a position to persuade Verna?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who was in a position to collect a rake off from Grofay? Who told me he'd seen Grofay with her when Grofay was so careful to say she'd been alone? Who would have gotten scared to death because he knew how rough you could be?
Cut it out, will you? Get out of here or I'll pull this trigger.
Who could have gotten panicky and drugged her and shoved her out on the highway and been scared to death Paulson saw something funny? Scared to death of Paulson and Springer, too, because he might remember his face from being at Springer's.
Mr. Valentine, stop it. I'm warning you.
Only Springer remembered a name. That Evans fella, he said. But he never met you. He could have meant Hewitt Evans.
No, you're nuts. Get out of here.
And the reason I know I'm right is because you want me to get out of here and Hewitt to come in. So you, jailbird, can kill him.
I didn't know about Springer. I went to your office and found Paulson dead. I tore out after Grofay. I tore all over town and everywhere there was cops. And Hewitt hid me. Later on, he brought me over here. I never got wise until I saw that here there was a shotgun and it had been fired so she could smell it. He stole the gun I bought in the pawn shop. He picked me for a patsy. There were extra shells. He wanted me to shoot it out and get killed by the police. Well, I'm gonna blast a hole in him. Get out of here, Valentine. I'm gonna... You know, I told you a long time ago that my wife didn't drink.
Yeah, kid. Yeah, you did. I guess I figured if you had that much faith in her, maybe somebody ought to have some faith in you. Now, you still want to kill him?
Here's the gun, Mr. Valentine.
George, why do you suppose Mr. Paulson came up here to the office? What do you suppose he was going to tell us?
Oh, I don't think he'd actually been hiding anything he'd seen at the time of the accident, Brooksy. He didn't actually see you at Pusher. Just a suspicion, tinge of doubt. And, well, all of us feel it's so much easier not to get mixed up in things.
I know. Like it's so much easier to make a flat-footed accusing statement, like Mr. Springer must have about Verna Evans.
Yeah.
Oh, people are so careless and selfish when they tell things they see, when they tell things they've been told. They forget that somebody might suffer. Somebody might be robbed of his chance at the world.
Well, Nod Evans has a pretty good chance now, Brooksy. You see, I think that...
George, I love you.
Happy vacation trip, and indeed, for your everyday motoring, take a tip. Go on Chevron Supreme gasoline. It's blended perfectly to give your car's engine ping-free power under every driving condition. Faster starts for cold engines, quicker pickup in traffic, and extra power on hills with never an engine knock. Ping-free power means more economical motoring, you know. For a knocking engine is a strained and laboring engine that's wasting both power and fuel. So make sure you get Chevron Supreme, a premium quality gasoline. Remember, it's climate tailored according to the West's different altitude and temperature zones. Gives your car its best performance wherever you buy it. In fact, you can't buy a better gasoline for today's high compression engines. Ask for Chevron Supreme at standard stations and at independent Chevron gas stations where they say, and mean, we take better care of your car. Next week, when we find George Valentine trying to solve a new riddle on a country estate, we'll hear...
I did see him, George. Right over there, through the fog.
Okay, Angel, let's take a look. I'll turn on the flashlight.
Okay.
Hey, wait a minute. Huh? Look at that, Brooksy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He didn't even reach his car to get away.
That makes two of them, Angel. And our job is to see that somebody doesn't make it three.
Tonight's Adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Francis Robinson as Brooksy. Wally Mayer appears as Lieutenant Riley. Let George Do It was written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Walter Burke as Nard, Ted Von Eltz as Paulson, Clayton Post as Hewitt, Bob Griffin as Grope, and Martha Wentworth as Ma. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Broadway's my beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's my beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
The carnival scream rises high on Broadway, carried high on plumes of neon light, and its shape is of many things. The metallic anguish of a trumpet shriek, the futile beating against closed doors, the laughter bargained for, bought, paid for under the winking girl on the spectacular. Broadway's scream rises, shatters into fragments of glitter, prowls through the city, and finally touches you. Wherever you are, it touches you. For me, it was a phone call. A girl dying, it said, from a jackknife in a dime a dance palace on Broadway. Come to it, Danny. Maybe you can grab yourself a free dance. The welcome committee is out, the pale girls with the scarlet streaked across their mouths and the restless scarlet-tipped hands playing in the spinning lights, reaching out for you. Someone called, said a girl was hurt. Where is she?
Me, I called. Sure you don't want to dance with one of those girls first?
Where is she?
Miss Square. You're a square policeman. Come on, I'll take you to her. George is the neat type. Don't like to spoil the fun. That's why she picked the lonesome lounge to die in. You got it picked out where you're gonna die. You should. You really should. The lounge with beaded curtains. With Georgia.
Get out. Go dance.
It's all right, Danny.
You? You, Georgia?
Me, Danny. Fran can stay. She's my good friend. Okay if she watches me die, isn't it?
Who did it, Georgia?
A dancer. Keen dancer. You should have been here for his mambo dancing. It was a show.
Who? He stabbed you, Georgia. That makes it all right to tell me. Who was it?
He bought $5 worth of tickets. A man like that, you feel you know. Don't ask his name. It spoils it.
With this knife?
Yeah. While dancing. I'm keeping it for a souvenir. Make sure it's with me in the coffin, huh, Danny? Promise.
You're a long way from home, Georgia. What brought you here?
I like it here. Come here a lot. It's peaceful. The man blows the bugle so peaceful.
The crowd, Georgia? Will the boys in the crowd stab you because you're not liked anymore?
How can you talk when he's... Listen to him, Danny. Listen. A girl feels young again with music like that.
After that, the place got cluttered up. People started to come into the lounge. Policemen with notebooks. A woman in a tweed suit with a press card in her hat band. A couple of men with a stretcher. The only thing the doctor picked up on his stethoscope was a trumpet blowing what is called the blues. Because there was no heartbeat from Georgia Gray. Because she was dead. Find out why.
Go now to Mott Street, where it intersects an alley whose name no one remembers. Climb four flights of stairs and wonder briefly why the quality of sound and light in a tenement is like nothing else in the world. And walk a corridor where mice and men live together in perfect tolerance. And stop at a door.
Stand in the light a little bit more so I'll know who's...
It's Danny Clover, Benny.
You coming to check? I'm okay.
May I come in?
Sure. Yeah, I'm okay, Danny, I'm okay. Except for the stomach. It hurts when I press it.
You've been behaving yourself, Benny?
Well, since I got out of the hospital, sure. I'm beaten now. He taught me to make things out of beads when I was resting in a ward. Belt buckles and ladies' accessories.
You know why I came here, don't you?
I ain't a stool pigeon no more, Danny. I got cured of that, too. I'm a beater now.
Who killed Georgia Gray?
I'm a beater.
How long since you checked in with your parole officer, Benny?
Oh, Danny.
What about Georgia?
You know as much as me. Georgia was close to Nicky Gammon, you know that. Bought his shirts for him, ran down the drugstore for him.
What's the word on Nicky?
The crowd ain't happy with him, Danny. Oh, Danny, leave me alone. I got an order from a lady down the hall for a love bracelet. I got to deliver to her there, or I'll be breaking my contract.
Nothing else, huh?
Say, help me, Danny. Nothing. Where's Nick again? I'm a beater now.
Well, you, huh? Off your beaten path, aren't you, Danny?
Inside, Nicky.
Don't strong arm, Danny. I was going to invite you in anyway.
Georgia Gray, Nicky. She's dead.
Word came to me how you closed her eyes. I wish it had been me.
Maybe you got there ahead of me, Nicky. Maybe you went dancing, saw Georgia in a place you never thought she'd be. Killed her because she was getting away from you.
Oh, you're tired, Danny. Awful tired. No one gets away from me, not even the dead. Come on into the den. I want you to meet my mother. If she'll be hurt, I don't show her my friends.
All right, Nicky. I wouldn't want her to be hurt.
You'll wish yours had been like her. Just wait. Mother, look what I brought you, Danny Clover.
Sit down, Danny. Have a mint. Nicky has them made up special for me.
Thanks. Well, special, huh?
Nothing too good for my mother.
It's always been like that with my son. Up to now.
Nicky hasn't been good?
He let his girl die in a cheap place. Dancing with another man for pay, for dimes. That cheapens his name.
You could have stopped it, Nicky?
How could I have known, Mother? I told you.
Don't snap at me, Nicky boy. I'll slap your mouth. Wash it out with dirt.
Georgia liked that hole, Danny. I never understood why. She tried to explain it to me about the music, about dancing. Crazy for dancing. Who understands these things in a girl? When she had everything a girl...
Everything you gave her. Everything you worked hard for.
You're getting your share, huh, Mother?
The funeral, too, Nicky? Will you buy me one like the one you're buying for Georgia? Let me show you the invoices, Danny. I never knew dying came so high. Inflation, huh?
Maybe it'll wipe out the taste of what happened to her. Where it happened to her.
It's just a maybe, son. Don't build a monument on it. You want to know why they killed her, Danny?
You know, Mrs. Gannon?
They think my son is finished. Done. Used up. They killed a girl to frighten my Nicky boy. And you know what? My boy's frightened.
Who does that to you, Nicky? Your friends? Your boys?
You know when you see their bodies on a slab. It'll be in all the papers. You'll save the clippings for me, huh, Nicky?
Oh, isn't she a dream, Danny? I told you. Wonderful girl, my mother.
When I got back to headquarters, there was a file on my desk. The neatly centered sticker on its front cover was typed Georgia Gray. Open it, read it, digest it. Georgia Gray, age between 25 and 29, computed from data gathered from arrests. Hometown, Salina, Kansas. Followed a soldier to New York port of embarkation in 1943, but never caught up with him. So she stayed. Counter girl in a 5 and 10, then model for ladies' garments, then nightclub hostess, and 2 years ago in night court, after losing a race with a squad car, she said she'd retired. Because I don't have to work anymore, she said. Know a better reason, she asked? Name linked with Nicky Gannon from here on in.
Address Park Avenue. Expenses shared by Fran Holland, who said now she'll have to look around.
First thing I'm going to do is get another roommate.
Did you get along well with Georgia?
She had her ideas, I had mine. Know what I mean?
Tell me.
Well, this and that. Georgia was what, a pretty girl?
I'd say she was beautiful.
Yeah, I guess she was very beautiful. Very. Ah, but she was ruining it. Ran around, danced, but she didn't enjoy herself. I know she didn't. She only enjoyed herself relaxing here with me.
Something I haven't made up my mind about.
Well, you better make up your mind about it, Danny. Sure. She had all that dough and she lived with a dance hall hostess with me. You know why? Because she needed someone like me.
To run home to her?
Right. So she could have soft hands rubbing the back of her neck. To bring her cold tomatoes when she needed it.
She run the orphan, Fran?
Look, Danny, she was dance happy. That's why she hung around the place I worked. A little bit of music and a guy in a high waistband with two strong feet could make her smile like she was happy.
Did Nicky Gannon mind that she stepped out on him?
Why did Nicky care? He used her for a front for his business. He didn't care about her dancing.
Who killed her, Fran?
A man. What else but a man?
What man? Who?
You know what you ought to do, Danny? You know Tommy Chandler?
Nicky's hood?
The padded shoulder that stands near Nicky with his hand in his pocket. Ask Tommy. See how he reacts when you ask him.
You know where Tommy is?
I know where he'll be in the morning. You know where the ducks are in that pond in Central Park? 8 o'clock, he throws them bread. Stale bread. But what do ducks know?
That one over there likes pump a nickel, Danny. Here, give him a piece. You'll make an impression.
We got none of these advantages at city jail, Tommy.
You gonna arrest me, kid? No. Ducks will miss me. You want a piece of pump a nickel too, Herm? Sure you do. You see how Herm looked at me, Danny? Sad. Like he already knows about the arrest. What are you taking me down for?
We'll think of something.
Feeding the pintails in Central Park? I won't be able to hold up the head for the shame. Let's go, kid. That's your squad car over there?
You gonna blush when I say suspicion of murder?
That's been done to me, too.
You didn't come out for a long time.
Georgia. You got me case for that?
Georgia was murdered. Maybe Nicky Gannon goes, too.
The whole crowd will miss him. I'll tell you something else. Whoever stabbed George ain't gonna be around long, either.
The crowd will see to that, huh?
I didn't say that. I just said a prediction, that's all.
Who takes over if Nicky is rubbed, Tommy? You?
Take over what? A backroom poker game for matchsticks? What are you talking about? Look, baby, arrest me if you want, but don't ask me stupid questions. It makes Herm nervous. Here, Herm. Here you are, boy.
Herm looked sad when I took Tommy away from him. All the ducks looked sad. For a minute. Then they found a new love with a stale loaf of bread. Swam away, screaming for it. Tommy looked back over his shoulder, stopped to call them a name. Got shoved into the squad car. But on the way down, a code call. A woman's voice in the police radio. Man dead, she announced with a quiet number. Then she said it plain. In an alley, 4th Street, off 6th. Get there, car 62. We got there.
Mind if I tag along, Danny? Man dead. I recognize from the number. We gotta share these things.
Hold your gun on him, Muggerman. He wiggles a toe, break it for him.
Pleasure, Danny.
Let me through. Let me through. They can't skate anymore, can they, Nicky? Not anymore. He was propped up against the wall, his head thrown back, his mouth open. Like he was trying to tell someone about it. The furtive dog scrubbing for food in the trash, not listening. The small crowd he'd assembled because the blood sighed across his shirt front, but not listening. Watching an alley wind gather soot at his feet. Watching me lean over him. Watching Nicky Gannon. Dead Nicky Gannon.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. You'll find Jack Benny in the desert this Sunday night on CBS. Jack and his gang are making a safari to entertain the boys at an airbase in Nevada. And for more laughs, there'll be another session with Eve Arden as the gay, romantic, fun-loving schoolteacher, our Miss Brooks, on most of these same CBS stations.
Broadway is wide enough for everybody. Generals in open touring cars, blondes in taxis, and sailors against lampposts. It's the place to come to, for one reason or another. To be a tourist, or get stared at by the tourists. To make a pitch, buy a bargain, get cheated, insulted, or have your picture taken. And end the day with a memory, depending upon what you wanted, what you got, and what you gave for it. And part of the day's memento of Broadway will be the news item, Nicky Gannon shot down in an alley, hoodlum slain in new outbreak of mob violence, police seek clues in killing, especially me, and another man, the Sergeant Gino Tartaglia, who had once passed a civil service examination.
And the medical examiner, Dr. Sinsky, reveals that death was caused by hemorrhage in the pleura, parentheses, lungs, closed parentheses. And that is why Nicky Gannon was done in.
Thanks, Gino.
Well, you're quite welcome, I'm sure.
Anything else?
May I?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. You know, Danny, this shooting up an alley brings to mind a case which was solved by Lady Jane Pugh, the ne'er-do-well girl detective from London Town.
Do we have to, Gino?
Lady Jane looked at the deceased and flipped her shiny tuppence.
Flipped her what?
Her shiny tuppence. Lady Jane has a lucky tuppence which she flips before she undertakes a case. That Lady Jane.
May I interrupt?
Well, you're the boss.
Do you have anything else to tell me about Georgia Gray or Nicky Gannon, please?
Oh, indeed I do, Danny, indeed I do. In the murder of Nicky Gannon, Tommy Chandler, our prime suspect, has been released. And without a nickel's worth of bail.
What?
I have said it.
So help me if you're kidding, Gino. Why was he released?
Oh, because another fellow has confessed to the deed. You remember Cozy Barrett? Even at this moment, he is with Sergeant Mugovan, confessing all over the place. And that, Danny, is all the news I have for today. Case is solved, huh, Danny?
And that ain't all of it, Sergeant. George ain't all of it. Lots of people met with me, then ended up under a sheet in the ice house.
You killed before, Cozy?
Oh, hi, Danny. Come on in. Join the fun.
This is a new kick, isn't it, Cozy, for you? Confessing to a murder?
What's the matter? You don't trust me? Read me to him, Sergeant.
I'll brief it for you, Danny. Cozy says he took a pocket full of dimes to the Diamond Dance joint where Georgia Gray was. To celebrate the end of a perfect day, he tells me.
You danced with her, Cozy?
Sure, I danced. How else I get close enough to kill?
You didn't like the way she danced, huh?
Crazy for it. Dream about it. Who else I dance away my hard-earned dough on?
That buys you her dying, too, huh?
Oh, she gives us insults. And from a foot away at that. But I got close. Eventually, I got close.
Yeah, yeah. Get on the phone, Mugovan. Have a policewoman sent up here with a portable radio.
Danny, you all right? You've been working so hard. You...
You got a thing against telephones, Mugovan?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll do it.
What you gonna do, Danny?
Yes,
you got
Mugovan.
Tricks with batteries and portable radios to make people talk? I'm talking. Yeah. Why you need electricity?
Should be right up, Danny.
Hey, you gonna put me away, huh, Danny? To the sound of music, huh? You treat me nice because I'm nice to you, huh?
Killing. A little out of your line, isn't it, Cozy? I always figured you as more of the purse snatcher type, the jack roll kid, the friend a drunk finds in an alley.
Well, I got a right to come up in the world, ain't I? This gives me class, a reputation, the things a fellow needs so he can admire himself in the night.
Sure, I understand. Man has to get ahead.
You send for me, Lieutenant? You want this?
Yes, come in, please. Turn on the radio. Go on, turn it on to dance music. That'll be all right. Dance with the lady, Cozy.
Huh?
Go on, dance with her.
Yeah, you're crazy, Danny. I give myself up to you, and you go crazy. There are people like me, honest.
Dance with her, like you did with Georgia. Show me how it was with Georgia.
You know I can't dance, Danny. You know I wouldn't go near a dame to dance with her. They laugh in my face when they see me coming.
You were never near Georgia Gray, were you? Not even close enough to...
They promised me they'd get me off, Danny. They said confess, and Then when I got off, they'd give me the big dough.
Who promised you all that?
Well, friends, Danny. I got good friends. They promise me things. They call me up and promise me things. You gotta lock me up, Danny, so I don't disappoint them. You gotta lock me up.
Make it come true for him, Muggerman. Lock him up. Now the afternoon was 2 hours old, and the gray had turned into a wetness, a drizzle that hung skirling in the air before it touched the pavement. The citizens didn't mind getting wet. It was a sight to see. The funeral procession wasn't very long, not like the good old days when a gangster's death took up a mile of Broadway. Not like the good old days at all. None of the mourners walked, they all rode. And the wreaths were wrapped in cellophane, which not only protected the snapdragons from the rain, but it was more sanitary. I went along because I'd known Nicky Gannon for a long time. The rain let up a little when they lowered him into his grave. And none of the mourners stayed, not even his mother. And I wanted to talk to his mother. Mrs. Gannon?
Hello, Danny. You want to ride back to town?
I wanted to tell you how sorry I...
You talk like that, you don't ride with me. Come on. My son was a hoodlum. Why should you be sorry for him?
We've talked together. We've had a beer together. That's the reason.
You cry. Not me.
Whatever you want. He was your son.
My son got scared. Men get scared, a man don't live anymore.
And that's all his dying does to you, Mrs. Gannon?
Look what I've got, Danny. A thug's funeral on a rainy day.
He was your son.
He's dead, Danny. I'm not. I'll think about him. Some things will come up in my mind from time to time, but I've forgotten about right now. And I'll smile. And I'll think nice about Nicky then.
Do you know who killed him?
I know.
Who?
I said I know.
The same person who killed Georgia?
If I let you out of the car now, you'll get wet.
You're going to do anything about the person who killed Nicky?
I'm sure of it, Danny.
Sure of what?
It's going to rain all day. Funny, ain't it? The paper said it was.
In a hurry, Danny Clover?
Yeah, I am. Bother you, mister?
Mm-hmm. But it bothers me more, your unhappiness.
Let's have a good cry over it in my office, huh?
You in the hallway suits me. Used to drafty hallways, spend my life in them, waiting to do things for unhappy people.
Spreader of good cheer. That's your business at police headquarters, Mr. What name do you spread it under?
Forbes, counselor at law, my card.
Forbes, counselor at law. Someone came to you, said I was unhappy. You took the case.
Almost precisely how it happened.
They told you what makes me sad.
Kindly people, they grieve when a policeman throws away a confessed killer.
Cozy Barrett?
It seems to them almost ungrateful. However, they respect your analytical prowess.
You got something I can hang on my wall that says that?
Something much better.
Silver cup, maybe, with an inscription.
Better. An envelope, manila with money. It could take you hours to count.
No silver cup, huh?
Better. A bonus. The killer. The real true killer of George and Nicky. That could bring so much happiness to a man like you.
Where do I find it?
Where else? Envelope and killer. The Diamond Dance Palace, where Georgia danced upstairs, 1 o'clock. That's this morning. Be there and a smile will grow on your face.
You've brought me true happiness, Counselor. Thank you. Then he walked away. At the end of the hall, he stopped and looked back over his shoulder, grinned at me. Then he turned up his collar and walked out into the street. This was at 7 p.m. Then a walk down Broadway and dinner and a double feature on 42nd Street. Then it was time to go. The Diamond Dance Hall was blaring against its time of closing. I walked through it, pushed my way across the floor into a doorway. No one stopped me. Then up a flight of stairs and into a loft littered with old telephone books, cigarette butts, and a neatly stacked bundle of year-old newspapers. The only light, the light from the spectaculars down the street, spelling out the evening's pleasure. 40 girls, 40, no cover charge. Up front with Willie and Joe, continues performance. Chinese food, fried rice, and dancing. And I waited. I didn't wait long.
You here, Danny?
Come on in, Tommy.
Thanks. I brought you something. Here. It's all yours, Danny.
Who is he? The killer that got promised to you.
Dead?
Uh-huh.
You bring the envelope, Tommy? You bring it?
Sure. Sure, I brought it. Yeah. Count it at your leisure. 15,000, kid.
I don't know, Tommy. A dead killer. How am I going to explain a dead killer?
I thought of that, too.
What did you come up with?
Danny, I found a guy on Skid Row. He wasn't doing anybody any good. So I figured he could do us some good.
So you shot him?
With a police positive, just like you carry. Here's the gun. You track this killer down, he tried to escape, you shot him, makes you a hero.
That's right. And how many heroes have $15,000?
We're going to get along fine.
You've taken over for Gannon?
I deserve, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Killing Georgia and Nicky Gannon, sure, you deserve it. Took courage.
You don't know how much. Had me sweating there for a while that she didn't die right away. Only Georgia was a girl with character. Live and let live. Die and let live. Great girl. Well, I call you from time to time, Danny.
Wait a minute, Tommy.
Get used to it, Danny. I said I'd call you.
Don't go away. You're under arrest for murder.
You practicing being a cop? Don't be a cop around me.
You forgot something, Tommy. I can't be anything else. Let's go.
Because you're pointing the police positive. You got trouble, sucker? It's that way all over.
Don't let me fall.
I got your coat.
Don't let me fall. I don't want to die that way. Hold me.
Yeah.
Daddy, hold me.
His fingers clawed against the sheer stone.
Daddy.
Body twisting, face tortured.
Daddy.
Pleading for a return to life.
Daddy.
His body hung there below me, out of reach.
Daddy.
Then the fabric that held his life together gave way. And the noise of the street came up to meet him. Killed his scream. When I got outside and walked through the gathering crowd, I remembered something in my hand. Tommy Chandler's torn coat. It's the gathering place of all the sleepless nights, this Broadway, and all the unwept tears. The place to come to, erase what's happened, start all over, make a memory. Then try to forget it, if you can. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's cast, Anthony Barrett was heard as Tommy Chandler, Francis Chaney as Fran Holland, Martha Wentworth as Mrs. Gannon, Larry Dobkin as Nicky Gannon, Joy Terry as Georgia Gray, Leo Cleary as Benny Fain, and Junius Matthews as Cozy. Every Saturday night on CBS, Jan Murray gets on that coast-to-coast phone and gives away $1,000 at a crack if you can identify the phantom voice. Be listening for Sing It Again, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. Joe Walters speaking. This is CBS, where you laugh at Jack Benny every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Let George Do It, Broadway Is My Beat, past episodes of Case Closed, and thousands of other shows at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there too, and our donate button if you'd like to help support it all. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks as always to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.